talking about sustaining the wind, the things that God does for you, the good things that God brings into your life. You need to understand, as we're going to see this morning, God is big G God. But did you know Scripture, as we're going to read here in a little bit, says that Satan is the god of this world system, little g? You see, when God created the heavens and the earth and he put everything here on this planet and put Adam and Eve here, he entrusted it to Adam and he said, you keep it, you guard it, you protect it. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He sold out. He listened to the lie of the enemy. And that's why we're in the shape we are today. This is why people say, well, if there's a God, then why are all this? Why is the world such a mess? It's because Satan is the god of this world system. This is not heaven. There will be a day when Jesus returns, cast out the enemy, and there will be everything that people wish this world was. But that's not for right now. But God has made a pathway for us to live in the benefits of his kingdom here and now. That's why one of the reasons why Jesus came. So my point being is, from the very beginning and all through Scripture and all through your life and my life, this is what we find. God does something good. Satan, the devil, the enemy, comes to steal it, to take it, to destroy, to mess it up. He always comes along behind and tries to. In fact, Jesus, in the parable of the sower and the seed, the guy, you know, back in those days, they didn't have tractors and stuff, so they have a big bag of seed, and they would just grab handfuls and sling it everywhere. That was how they planted their seed, a lot of their seed. He says in one instance, he says, the seed's sown along the pathway, it says, and when the seed is sown there, immediately Satan comes to steal the seed that was sown. Now it says the seed is a type of God's word. So when we hear the promises of God, when we hear the benefits, the blessings that God has made available to us, and then God works something of healing, a financial miracle, any resource, any kind of help to bring to your life, the enemy comes along to try to steal it. Now, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture this morning. Again, I say a lot. I don't know. We're going to look at some verses because I want you to see some things clearly. If you don't grasp these things this morning, it's going to be hard to build upon anything else. And unfortunately, you may find yourself falling victim to what the enemy brings or comes to steal, kill, and destroy out of your life. So anyway, we began last week looking at ways that we're winning as a congregation. Excuse me. And then we begin to talk about how to keep your healing, and whether it's healing or anything else, but I'm focusing on this particularly right now. But it could be any of God's blessings, anything that God blesses you with. The enemy will come to try to steal it. It's going to be put to the test. So, the thing is, many people, after receiving healing, if and when symptoms return, whether it's a week, a month, a few years later, too many people, instead of rising up with the promises of God, the Word of God, and holding on to what God has given them, they give in. Oh, well, that pain's back. I guess God didn't heal me. How many of you ever had kidney stones? Anybody here? Aren't they fun? My mother had one, and she ended up in the ER, and they said, well, go home and drink lots of water. That's their answer to everything. She came back 8 days or so later, and they were about to send her home again, and I said, I happened to be with her that time, and says, hold on just a minute, doctor. I think you need to take another look at this. And that's when my mom... Some people are afraid to say anything in front of doctors. Listen, you got to communicate. Okay, word to the wise. Just talk to him. She says, Doctor, I have had 7 babies. I'm number 2 in that list. And she says, I have never felt pain like this. He looked at her and says, okay. He called in a urologist. And, you know, stones are wicked little things. They're not just perfectly round, smooth. They have little barbs and jagged. It, in the urea, it had stuck. It had, the barb had caught. They had to go in and get it. And I mentioned that to say, I have passed a stone the size of a dime. And I currently have one in my left kidney that is 8.2 millimeters. When you look at it in the scan, it looks like it just takes up the middle of the kidney. That sucker has tried to pass and caused a great deal of pain. But this one is too big to pass. A 2 millimeter stone will make you wish for all the drugs in the world. So, you know, over 8, we're getting up there. And this thing flares up every now and then. And whenever it does, I tell it to shut up. Now, let me just admit to you right up front, I cannot explain to you everything. But every one of us, we are growing in faith. And some of us are here growing in faith, yay. Some of us are here growing in faith, and some of us are here, but we're still growing in faith. Just like a little toddler who's learning to walk. I mean, just because you're a big grown adult and you can walk and do it relatively well, you don't laugh at a little toddler who's learning to walk who falls, aha, you fell down, you baby, you. You don't do that. That's just where they're at. So what do we do with one another as we grow in faith? You may not be at the level of somebody else. Somebody else may not be at the level you are. And you think, well, you just speak this and you just apply God's word. And yet they're learning these things. They're growing in these things. Okay? So I am where I am. I'm going to have this one lasered. Broken up. Taken out. Okay? Why don't you just believe? Because this is just where I am. I'm sorry. I know you thought I was much better than that, but it's okay, because in the midst of it, you grow. And I'm going to say more about what you do in the middle of these things so that you continue to grow in these things, okay? Anyway, when symptoms return, some people, they don't, oh, I guess God didn't heal me. And they just give up and give in. And then what they had, that malady comes back on them. They are depending upon others to carry them on their prayers and their faith. But no one can maintain a healing which come that, you know, that may come from the result of somebody else's faith, somebody else ministering to them, or the gifts of the Spirit, unless their own faith grows to the point where they can, as we read last time, Jesus, we read in Scripture where Jesus said, hold fast, hold on tight to what you have. You got to hang on to it. God gives it to you. You say, well, if God wants me to keep it, he'll make sure it happens. And if he doesn't, then he can just, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. There's just so much to say, and I don't have enough time on Sunday mornings. But, you know, those of you who gravitate to those kinds of verses like that, there is an answer that you need to look beyond just, I really don't get it. I don't understand why there are some people who will fight to stay sick. Just fight to stay poor and have nothing and not let God bring any kind of blessing into their life. I don't get it. My God is a good God. And I know that he has good things for me. And I want everything that he has. So I'm going to continue following him as imperfectly as I may do it. But, you know, and learn from mistakes, and you keep growing. You keep following the Lord. Anyway, there are things that are said in Scripture. Wow. Is this important? Nope, it's not. Well, it is. It's reminding me to pay bills, so somebody somewhere does think it's important. I don't, but just because something is said in Scripture doesn't mean that it's God-affirmed. How many of you know that Scripture records things that Satan says? Okay. Just because you find it in there, you've got to rightly discern the word. Just because Job said, God gives and God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, that doesn't mean that he's right. Because we know the story. Think about it. In the story of Job, who took what Job had? Satan did. Well, but God gave him permission. Well, Job also said, that which I greatly fear has come upon me. He was in fear that his children may be off in sin and, you know, this, that, and the other. Fear opens the door to a lot of things. Anyway, I don't have time to give a defense of all these things, but the point is, you need to be able to grow to where you hold on to what you have in Christ. Just like new believers, says as newborn, 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes in Christ, you desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay? You got to grow up in the Lord. So it is people who get healed. They need to get established in the word if they're going to sustain the victory, the blessing that God has brought to them. And as I've talked about at the beginning of this, it will be put to the test. Now, let me remind you, because again, this is pop evangelical theology that you cannot find in Scripture. Tests and trials do not make you strong. How many of you have heard it preached? Oh, tests and trials come to make you strong. We've all heard it. Now, will you be honest with me? Because I know in my life I have gone through tests and trials that did not make me strong. And you know why? Because of me. I came out mad at God and people. It's not tests and trials that make you strong. If tests and trials made us strong, how many of you know we would all be super saints? I don't know about you, but I feel more than my share of tests and trials in life. It's not tests and trials that make you strong. It's the faith, the word of God you use in the test and the trial. That's what makes you strong. Yet so many people, they just don't think things through, and they want to say things, you know, like that. And again, you say it enough times, people start to buy into it. But I know a lot of people, they go through tests and trials and they crash and burn. They don't come out better. They come out bitter. But there are other people who, in the midst of the test and the trial, let me tell you a true story. Two women attend the same church. On the same day, minivan moms in the 1980s, the late 1980s, they're taking their kids to school. They're both in car wrecks. Now, in the charismatic tradition, these women were, they just heard a great message on Sunday, Monday morning. They're driving kids to school, and on their way home, they're both praying in the Spirit. And they're both in car wrecks. They show up and they talk to their pastor and they say, "Pastor, that praying in the Spirit stuff doesn't work. My van's been smashed. I've been in this accident and my van's smashed up. It just doesn't work." A few hours later, the other lady calls and says, "Pastor, you won't believe it. I was coming home from taking my kids to school. I was praying in the Spirit and Satan tried to kill me and he couldn't do it." Where are you? Where are you? You know, if you don't know where you are, that's why when you go to malls and places like that and they have those maps of where everything is and they say, "You are here." I find that helpful because there's some of them that you see the little red dot's gone and I don't know where I am, so I don't know how to get to the store I want to get to. you know? You have to know where you're at, and it's the same way in your life whenever it comes to walking with Jesus and your growing faith. You have to be honest with yourself. Because listen, I can be a legend in my own mind when it comes to faith. What I can trust God for. And I've shared this with you before. A few years back when I got a cancer diagnosis, I was ready to bless God. I know what the Word says, and I'm going to stand on the Word. And I'm so grateful for the graciousness of God who came to me and said, Phil, let's talk about this. You're not where you think you are. It's okay to trust the doctors. Okay. And that's okay. You can, if that's where you're at. And sometimes you need God to tell you that's where you're at. We need to learn how to stand in faith on God's word and say, when symptoms show back up, you can't come back on me. The Lord has healed me. I won't accept that in the name of Jesus. But there has to be a foundation of Scripture and a growing faith, trusting God in the midst of that. So again, you know, as we talked about last week, let's just kind of review there and move forward. A lot of people say, well, and I've heard people say, I don't know, I can't pray for you to be healed because I don't know if it's God's will to heal you. Okay? And if I could say this as gently as I can, but you are a lazy Christian. A lazy Christian. Because the Scripture is quite clear that tells us to find out what the will of God is. And that's what we're going to do this morning. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You got to find out. Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing or the changing of the way you think, your mind, that you may prove, find out, discover, put to the test, and prove this is what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You can know the will of God. So let me just get right into the heart of this. Jesus is the will of God come in the flesh, revealed to the world. You want to know what the will of God is? Look at Jesus. In John chapter 14, Jesus talking to his disciples, he said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. One of his disciples, Philip, said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be good enough for us, sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Notice this next phrase now. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Everything that Jesus did. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Scripture says, Satan, who is the little g god of this world system, how the world thinks and functions, does stuff, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know what? The glory of God that you see, that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. You want to know what God's like? You look at Jesus. Jesus is God come in the flesh. He is the will of God come in the flesh. Colossians 1:15 says, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. John 1:18, no one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God, that's Jesus, is near to the Father's heart. He, Jesus, has revealed God to us. This word revealed means he's made him fully and clearly known. So let me ask you once again, where do you read where Jesus came along and put sickness on anybody? You don't. When people came to Jesus, did he ever turn anyone away and say, no, it's not my will? I don't care what you saw in The Chosen with little James. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. That's okay. The Chosen has some good, it's a series on the internet and about Jesus and his disciples. Some of it's good. Some of it is just pure fantasy. And anyway, where did he ever turn anyone away saying, no, it's not my will to heal you. Just suffer a little longer till you have more character. Did he ever say that to anybody? No. You don't find it. What about, well, you know, I'm trying to teach you something. Well, what is it? Well, you'll find out. You suffered one of these days. You'll find out what I'm trying to teach you. But until then, I'm going to keep you in the dark while you suffer. Scripture's quite clear. He healed all who came to him. In fact, the scripture says in Acts chapter 10, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by God because he put something on them. No. Healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus wasn't working contrary to the will of God. I mean, when you read about the multitudes, the thousands of people that Jesus ministered and healed, you're telling me, according to that theology, that there's not one person in all the thousands of people that Jesus healed that God wasn't trying to develop more character in there or teach them something, blah, 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 and Jesus would have said no? But no, we want to make ourselves, like it says, people will fight to stay sick. God's will is to heal the sick. Well, then why isn't everybody healed? God doesn't respond to need. Oh, there's a need. Well, I'll take care of that. Oh, there's a need over here. I'll just take care of that. He responds to faith. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He provided healing to us today through Jesus. So let's lay the foundation where this came from. Let's go back over 700 years before Jesus came as a baby into this earth and lived his life. in Isaiah chapter 53, surely he has borne our griefs. Now, I highlight here because this word, the Hebrew word griefs here, is the word for diseases. Look it up other places, same Hebrew word in other places, it's diseases. And carried our sorrows, wrong, it's pains. He carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. A friend of mine went to a very prominent evangelical seminary in the Dallas, Texas area, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, who, again, evangelical, they say, we believe the word of God, you know. And so his professor is talking about this verse. And he says, well, what this verse means, it doesn't mean physical things. It means spiritual diseases and pains. Okay? I would like a definition of that. But as my friend said, this right hand got him in more trouble in school than anything else. Because the minute you said that, it... And he asked him this question, if what you're saying is true, then can you explain to me this verse? Let's read it, Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. I think this is fascinating. He cast out the spirits with a word. Gone. And healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the verses we just read, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And the prof has no explanation. The best interpreter of Scripture is Scripture itself. So when the New Testament tells us that what was written here in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus, and Jesus is healing people's physical conditions, besides, tell me what a spiritual disease is. What does that look like? And how else do you treat it? I mean, it just raises a lot of questions. 1 Peter 2:24, speaking of Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And I'd love to spend another 5-10 minutes on each of these passages, but I'm really going to try to get close to the end today. Matthew chapter 8 says, when he came down from the mountainside, Jesus, large crowds followed him. Now notice this, verse 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Okay, you understand, leprosy is highly contagious. Under the Jewish law, he's considered unclean. Nobody's supposed to touch him, or you're contaminated with his stuff too. He says, notice what Jesus says. He touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Now, in all these verses that we read, could I just make a suggestion to you? I know in your notes you just have the reference listed, but here, they're in the middle of your page in your service program. Could I just suggest a little exercise that will help you? Go and look these up in your Bible, whether it's print or on your device. Highlight them, underline them, and then I would encourage you to take a sheet of paper. I know this is really old school, when you can just copy and paste. Write out these verses. Just write them out, copy them out on a separate sheet of paper. There's something about actually writing that helps to seal stuff in your being. I can't explain it. It just is. Writing it out, because you have to think about it as you do. That's part of renewing your mind. And then maybe do it a couple of times. I don't care if you don't make a copy of it at that point. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on the refrigerator. When you're sitting there and you're drinking your coffee or having breakfast, whatever, read out loud these verses that we've just read. So important that you take in God's word. When you know and you believe these verses that we've just read, when you know them and you read them, when you know the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, which we haven't even gotten into yet, and not going to have time this morning, and that you have a right to use his name, the name that's above every other name, anything that can be named, any sickness, any disease, anything, you have a right. And when you know that as well as definitively as you know as 2 times 2 is, some of you don't know that. Okay, well, there we go. 4, yes. 2 times 2 is 4. You just know that. You don't. Most of you don't have to stop and think about that. But when you know it is these verses as well as you know that, you'll be able to defeat the enemy's attacks when he comes to steal what God has given to you. God provides all that we have. There is an adversary who comes to deceive you, lie to you, think, well, you don't deserve this. And besides, you know that you can't keep that if you've got sin in your life. I got news for you. There's not a person sitting here. There's not a person watching live on the internet or later that does not have some point of you did something wrong in your life. It's ongoing. Sorry. It includes me too. He comes to steal what you've received. So when you received a healing at some point, a day, a week, a month, years later, and you begin to feel symptoms rise up in that area of your body again, you now have a choice. You are at a crossroads. And you will determine how your story goes from that point on. You can say, oh, I thought the Lord healed me, but I guess not. Or he's allowed it to come back. He's punishing me for some sin. Or he is he's trying to teach me something. You go that route. You go down that road. And that malady will return. It'll come back on you. Jesus talked about it. He used it in the context of casting an evil spirit out. And it's gone. It says he walks around and later he comes back and finds the place where he dwelt, all swept and clean, but there's still no power there. He comes in, he enters back in, brings 7 of his friends, and he says the state of that man is worse than it was to begin with. He had no foundation to say, no, you're not coming back in here. It's the same thing with anything that God does. Satan will put it to the test to see, are you really going to believe God? Are you going to fold quickly? Or you can take the other route. You can say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I was, as 1 Peter 2:24 says, we were healed. Therefore, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. You can't stay. Get out of here. You got to resist the enemy and keep resisting him through many physical attacks and temptations. I've used these verses and principles of Scripture very quickly. One of those, when I was growing up, and I know a lot of kids have leg aches when they grow up, and everybody thinks mine is different, so I'm here to tell you mine was different. totally unpredictable when they come, and bring me to tears all the time. When I was young, my parents would give me aspirin. Well, after a while, I begin to break out. When I take the aspirin, I'd break out. We didn't have Tylenol or ibuprofen back then. Gosh, what are you, the dawn of the existence? Yeah, okay, well, some of us are a little older. I began to break out in these great big red welts. So I couldn't take it. So I reverted to take baby aspirin. How do you remember those orange-flavored baby aspirin? Some of you do. You know what I'm talking about. Well, those weren't bad. Okay, you chew those things up. There we go. And they would bring a little bit of relief. But this went on until I was at least 19 years old. So it wasn't just a growing thing, because I stopped growing when I was about 17, 18. And then I read somebody's book about the things that we're talking about even now that I've learned to put into practice. And I would say, I'm taking a stand. No, God's word says I'm healed. And so even as a young adult, these pains would come back. And I would stand and I would resist through crying, through tears. I mean, not quite as bad as a kidney stone, but they hurt enough to make me cry. And just pain in my legs, just from the knees, just right up to my thighs in that area. And it was weird. And it took about 9 months of me declaring the promise of God, speaking the word of God. Legs, you are healed. Pain, you cannot stay. And each time they would come, they would last a little bit less and less and less and less. Now, it's been about 8-10 years ago since it was put to the test. I'd feel that start to come on. I say, what are you talking about? No. That's all I had to say. No. Last week I told you saying no is a good thing. You need to learn to say no. Told it no. And, you know, you see, it was just a growing thing. I mean, I'm in my 60s, and the last one was when I was in my 50s, the last little hint that it wanted to try to come back. No. I could have said, oh, I guess it doesn't work. I didn't. And, you know, I'd be in a miserable state. But I'm not. I'm happy to report. Speaking of Brian Essery, we had him here. Some of you remember. I think it's the second time he came. I had this problem in my back. And when I laid down, I could not lay down flat. I always had to sleep like I was in a chair, you know, with my knees pulled up like this. Some of you can't see at the back. Because if I would try to straighten out while I was laying down, I can't describe the pain in my lower back. It felt like bone on bone that was just grinding. It would wake me up in the middle of the night. So about 15 years, I slept this way. And I had Brian pray for me. He laid hands on me, and immediately I felt this warmth come down to my back. And I'm not kidding you. It was not a muscular sensation. I felt bone move. A moving of a bone, and bones, and I just, it was just, and it was almost like, you know, you take two rocks, you know, bigger rocks, and you kind of, you rub them together like that. That's the way the sensation kind of was. And I went home, and for the first time, I laid down in bed, and I could lay out flat. Now, the problem is when you sleep 15 years like that, it becomes a habit, and so I would have to make myself lay out flat. Now, here's the thing. A few months later, I'm driving, and I'm driving from here to Tulsa, and my butt hurt. And I'm starting to feel that pain in my back. And I thought, you know, this is not coming back. No, it's not. But I reach into my back pocket. Now, these days, I carry one of these because I've switched, and I usually carry it in my front pocket, but I don't want you to see this. What's he got in his pockets? Bubble gum, you know? I had a trifold that, I'm not kidding you, was over 2 inches thick, because, guys, you know how it is. Sometimes you got that coupon to Freddy's that you want in there, and this gift card and that, and pretty soon the thing just grows. And you might imagine that in what I do, I sit in front of a computer a lot, do a lot of reading, a lot of studying, so I'm sitting a lot. And this thing's in my back pocket. Well, I'll tell you what, you can't have
your cheeks,
okay. I was going to say buttocks, but you can't have sitting down, one of them propped up like this, pushing up against everything with your weight on it, and it not do some damage. Now, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say sometimes it's just common sense things. If you're drinking 92 ounces of soda a day and you're having trouble with acid reflux, duh. Let's get a clue here, okay? Maybe cut back on that just a little bit. Bring it down to 84, you know? I'm just saying sometimes there's some common sense things you can do. So I switched. I wasn't carrying this big fat wallet in my pocket anymore, sitting on it all day long. No trouble. Resist the devil, Scripture says. What does the word resist mean? It means to oppose, to be hostile toward. It means to fight back. Use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's yours. God has given you his word. Use it. I don't know what some people are waiting for or waiting on before they start resisting. I sometimes wonder, maybe they're just not able to recognize that this is a work of the devil. In many instances, the devil has convinced people that what he's doing is the will of God. Or, you know, that God's told him he can do this, or that God is actually doing it to him. You know, he's a liar. Get to know the Lord himself through the revelation of his written word. Begin to, what is the F.F. Bosworth said, doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Doubt any experiences that contradict the word. Meet the devil with the word of God, and when you resist anything that is of the devil, you're resisting the devil. Plainly put, God is not your problem. Neither is Jesus. The Lord is your answer. He is your salvation. That word salvation, Greek words is sozo, and it means not only that, yay, you get to go to heaven because you received Jesus and you've been saved, you've been born again, but it also means healing, preservation, soundness, and health. God's salvation is help from heaven. Can I ask you this morning, have you or do you need help from God? I do. I do. Every day. Sometimes more than others, but he is my help. Let's all stand.